As you know, not everyone's rejoicing at the AI era about to engulf us, unless they bought Nvidia shares before they climbed up to $900 US or so. And most of us don't realise what AI actually does and what our next guest calls giant inscrutable matrices. He was once a founding figure in the development of human-made artificial intelligences. Eliezer Yudkowsky is an AI researcher, a decision theorist, founder of the Machine Intelligence Research Institute in Berkeley, California. His work's been influential on the writers of books like philosopher Nick Bostrom and his New York Times bestseller, Superintelligence. Eliezer was on a list in Time magazine last year of the most influential people in the field of AI. The Guardian newspapers recently asked, is it time we started paying attention to the tech skeptics? And we're doing that this morning. Eliezer Yudkowsky has been warning about AI longer than anyone else has, they say, aside from sci-fi authors. He thinks that AI may even be the death of us. Hello.
Hello as well.
You want a six-month moratorium on AI at the very least, I think, while we get our heads around what will happen as it's more and more deployed. What would that accomplish, do you think?
I'm actually not one of the advocates of the six-month moratorium. I think it's a bit disingenuous because I don't think we can get our act together as a species within those 6 months. I would tell the leaders of the world to build the off switch, to put all the hardware running AIs into a limited number of locations under international supervision so that if we change our minds about whether it's a good idea, if people start to believe what I believe about how doomed this effort is, we could shut it all down. People have surprised me by being more sensible about this issue than I expected, being less willing to walk directly into the whirling razor blades. And if humanity wakes up one morning and decides not to die, or even that they prefer to have the option not to die, that's how to do it.
Yeah, no, there's no shortage of people who agree with you and who are saying something along the lines, maybe not as spectacularly. And I'm sure many, many more will agree that humanity is being too casual in developing AI. But let's say it gets out of control, it does its own, goes its own willful way, a rebellion occurs, etc. How dangerous would that really be? Because it would have to control real-world resources in order to threaten us as a species, Eliezer.
I don't think it's all that hard to get control of some real-world resources if you are very smart. Even if people try to keep you off the internet, you might find your way to the internet anyways, but the current AIs are just directly connected to the internet, even during training, before they are tested, so it's kind of a moot point. They are already connected to the internet. If you're connected to the internet, you can access email, you can access Discord, you can find somebody who you can get to work for you, possibly without them knowing that you're an AI. GPT-4 has already demonstrated the ability to fool TaskRabbits, including lying to the TaskRabbits about whether it's an AI when one of the TaskRabbits got suspicious. So AIs at the current level are already smart enough to employ humans to do their bidding and not tell them that they're AIs, leaving aside that there are plenty of people out there who would willingly do the bidding of an AI.
Because we wonder how it would happen, and you've just explained the generality of that, but it would take something like an unstoppable virus or nuclear weapons being dispatched, and we do have safety backstops with humans in charge of nukes, for example. It still would not necessarily mean the end of us if we were savvy to that possibility.
I mean, if we were being sensible about it, we might try to lock down all of the hardware out there, the existing biological equipment that turns DNA into proteins. But that equipment is already distributed, including many editions of it that are not locked down. If you are very, very smart, it is just not that hard to bootstrap to more advanced versions of biology. Supervirus might not even be the right term, or superbacterium. Things that are to bacteria as skyscrapers are to trees, except that they retain the possibility of self-replicating. And that doesn't go through the part of our civilization that we've guarded most heavily, like the nuclear access codes. It goes through the parts that are currently unguarded, open to the internet, taking orders. They take your money. They send you the proteins.
Okay, so the feasibility exists in the way you've just described. Humanity, though, is propelled by desires, you know, for things meaningful and satisfying and valuable. What makes you think that if we build a machine smarter than we are, it will be impelled by a dark purpose? Surely it could simply be neutral. It won't have passions. It won't be red-blooded. Why would it want to eradicate us?
There's a whole tangle of questions there. So first of all, our prediction is that it is neutral in the sense of wanting something that from our perspective is probably neither good nor bad, that kills us as a side effect. If what you want is to make tiny rhombuses or giant clocks the size of the planet, you still need energy, you need matter, you need computation. And if you build a self-replicating fusion power plant and you build more and more of those, and when you're running all the fusion plants at capacity, that is not survivable if you're a human on the same planet. It gets too hot. It also might deliberately kill us because it doesn't want us building other superintelligences that compete with itself.
What would make it have vanity, though? I know this is a real layperson's question for somebody like yourself, but jealousy at another superintelligence emerging, not wanting competition, that's vanity as we understand it, isn't it?
No. Like, what you want is to make tiny rhombuses or tiny spirals or paperclips or staples or giant clocks, if there is something else competing with you, let's say it takes half the resources, you only get to make half as many paperclips. If you want paperclips, you don't want something else grabbing up half the matter in the galaxy before you can use it to make paperclips.
Okay, point taken. We have passed the point where we can say no to AI. I mean, unless we go and live in the woods, because the number of people on the street now constantly consulting their phones as they walk, you know, has just markedly increased. So many people need to put on earbuds as they walk out the doors of their homes. I mean, it would seem when you look around the world that we are already in that new world.
So, first of all, we have not yet built something smarter than us. The global manufacturing chain for the best sort of hardware used to make the most powerful current AIs is quite narrow, quite specialized. There is only a tiny handful of companies that manufacture the GPUs used to train AIs, at least today. There's only one factory, ASML, in the Netherlands, that builds the equipment used in the factories that make the AI chips. We're still at the point where we could get it under control today.
Is there any guarantee, though, that AI will become smarter than us? And I'm not sure that we all understand what that would be, the singularity, etc. Is there any inevitability about that happening?
If things are allowed to run as they are, then an AI that is a little bit smarter is an AI that is more profitable. It seizes the market. It beats your competitors. So if you just leave the market open, anybody can come in and make money, then they build more powerful AIs. They make more money. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And if one company tries to step back, another company will take its place. The companies have no ability to stop. You can see their employees posting on Twitter about how, oh, we couldn't stop this even if we wanted to. It's inevitable. Relax. Don't worry about things you can't control. And the truth is, the companies building AI are not in control. But the United States and China and Britain could all get together and sign an agreement, and then there would be somebody in control. The only control you have is the ability to not decide not to build smarter than human AI. If you actually build the smarter than human AI, you are not in control. You are dead.
Okay. Well, let's say you rein in AI development so it does that. It will still, people fear, aid and abet moves to enslave us in ways we would have not accepted once upon a time. You know, autonomy and privacy disappearing, as someone put it. That is an alternative dark future, isn't it?
I mean, that's the internet. right? That is the internet. It wants all of your private data so it can show ads to you. It doesn't want you dead. It wants you to stay alive as a customer.
Let's hypothesize, at least, that we won't all be dead in 5 or 10 years, because there are people inevitably who think your views are too doom-laden. What will become of jobs, this promised future beyond drudgery and need, these boundless opportunities for leisure? And those promises go back as far as the 1980s, and most of us know a bit about human nature and have doubts that this will be the case either. Do you think that AI is going to set us free in some way, even if we do limit its development?
I mean, you know, can you keep the dragon from growing up so that you can just use its claws to plow your field and its fire to heat your house? I personally would not mess with it. I would not take stuff that could kill everyone on Earth and try to make it a little bit more powerful to get a little bit more benefit out of it. If AI were not going to kill everyone, if it was not going to get smarter than us and autonomous, there would be something to the idea that the obvious thing that you expect to happen is that there's products that make people's lives better, and that's why they buy them.
Yeah. Eliezer Yudkowsky is with us. The American artificial intelligence researcher, he's been that for a long time. You've spoken out a long time about this. I've seen you talk. I've seen you at seminars. How much buy-in do you get from other experts in the field? You know, when people come up to you after these talks or you discuss further after a seminar that's online that people can see, what kind of level of agreement do you get?
Well, obviously the people who come up to you to talk with you are often the people who agree with you.
Yeah, true.
The ones who really hate you, you don't get to hear from them, you know, in person. You hear from them on the internet later. With that said, the whole issue is, it's kind of weird to explain to an outsider. For the longest time, you could not talk about the dangers of AI within the field of AI itself. Not because they don't want to scare the public or something like that, but because they thought it was too arrogant to talk about building an AI that could do any of the things that ChatGPT does today. And people outside the field of AI had the same sort of reaction mostly. Like, oh, like nothing like ChatGPT exists. How can you talk about it? And now that ChatGPT actually exists, some people in the field of artificial intelligence have, including 2 out of 3 founders of the field of deep learning, have executed a drastic change of course and said, whoa, let's back off. We never thought about what would happen if we succeeded, but we seem to have succeeded, and now we are suddenly realizing that there is a safety issue here.
Yes, I remember that climate in the old days, and you were right, there was great skepticism about whether it would progress to the extent it suddenly has. So you would like us, at the very least, just to reiterate, at the very least to hit pause on whatever iteration of ChatGPT there is in the works at the moment?
Yeah, like I would say stop at the GPT-4 level. Like this level isn't killing anyone, although they are still like finding out everything it can do. I would say stop, do not permit training AIs more powerful than that.
It's difficult to ask you questions about what would happen with a less threatening AI future, because you think it is threatening. But of course, before that happens, we will be engulfed by it in our everyday lives, presumably. And I wonder just to return to the question about work, I saw that in an MIT study, the least effective writers in a ChatGPT group became as good as other decent enough writers in the group not using ChatGPT when they had it available. So as a general question, extrapolating from that, in jobs, what happens when you take the AI away? Have these people learned to write better? Workers in menial tasks at the moment going to somehow become more educated by it? What sort of future do you see there?
I mean, possibly with a sufficiently advanced AI that wasn't yet quite at the level of killing everyone, you could ask it to train people in the skills that it was using itself. But is that the most profitable course? There's an issue with dating websites, which is that if you actually get into a successful romantic relationship, you probably stop using the dating website. So the dating websites are there to keep you clicking forever and like trying a bunch of relationships, and they don't actually, it's not actually their business incentive to provide you with a good relationship. You can imagine an AI boyfriend or AI girlfriend that would talk to other people's AI girlfriends and AI boyfriends and try to set up their humans with each other and teach them relationship skills. But that's not the most profitable thing that a company could do with an AI girlfriend or boyfriend. That the most profitable thing can do is hit you up for another $100 for additional options every month or every week. And the way things have played out with dating sites may not be a good sign about what happens when people follow the path of least resistance there. That said, I'm quite skeptical that weak writers with ChatGPT assistance are able to become strong writers. Maybe like very, very limited kinds of strength. ChatGPT is not really there yet when it comes to writing, in my own opinion.
I'm still thinking about your example of paying $100 a month to make your boyfriend or girlfriend better and better. I take your point, though, and it's something I've not thought of. But we've all thought of the fact that it can immensely augment healthcare. There are great temptations, almost irresistible ones now with AI, serving more patients who are ill, bringing costs down. And that alone is going to make us go down the road further and further. And it's not the only example, but it's the most obvious one.
Of all the ways to improve healthcare that you say humanity must go down the path, why pick the one course where, as a side effect, everyone on Earth is dead? They are not then healthier.
No, but until everyone on Earth is dead, heaven forbid, that is going to benefit humankind. I mean, I know you say that is not worth the trade-off, and of course, if you're right, it certainly is not. But that's why I get back to the temptation question. AI in the short term can benefit us in lots of different ways, and the conveniences that you referred to earlier. That's why I doubt that you can stop the process, even though you're calling for it.
There are things that profit their owners and users, but harm people standing nearby, like you building a factory that produces very loud noises all through the night in a residential neighborhood. That might be profitable to the factory owner, but it harms the other people in the neighborhood, so it's illegal. You have researchers who build more powerful versions of smallpox and other like bacteria that were quite deadly already, making them even worse. And they publish the paper and they describe their methods and they get the paper publication and their progress toward tenure, and everybody else on Earth has to live with the increased risk.
Yes, and Elon Musk says ChatGPT is scary good. We are not far from dangerously strong AI. Eliezer, just out of interest, out of the University of Arkansas, AI already outperforms humans in standard tests of creative potential. A recent study, 151 human participants pitted against ChatGPT-4 to measure divergent thinking. GPT-4 was more original and elaborate than humans on each of the divergent thinking tasks. Whether we worry as much as you do or not, it is a bit like the future that author Richard Ford once wrote about, that what we see on the horizon and are concerned about has already passed us by. You would say it's passed us by.
I mean, I don't think that AIs are smarter. I am quite skeptical that that ChatGPT-4 is smarter than an IQ 100 human or more creative than an IQ 100 human. It's definitely not as smart as the top researchers as yet. Possibly some people are being passed by already. Artists. The AIs are not quite as good at making art, but they're much, much cheaper. And there's a different kind of sadness to losing your job that way. But most of all, I would say it's not too late.
When you say it's not too late, we appreciate that, but it's not far. If you're right, it's not far from being too late.
I don't know how far it is. So it is often much easier to predict where a technology ends up than to predict the exact pathway that it takes there, and in particular, how long it takes. So I correctly called in 2004 that AI would later solve what was called the protein folding problem, but I did not call that it was going to happen in 2020. Enrico Fermi was saying that fission chain reactions were 50 years off, 2 years before he himself helped build the first nuclear pile. Leo Szilard, the inventor of the fission chain reaction, called that nuclear weapons were going to be a problem. And he even called that Hitler should not be allowed to know that nuclear weapons were a possibility. But Leo Szilard did not call that the first nuclear weapons were going to be built, that the first fission chain reaction pile was going to be built in 1942, 9 years later. So, you know, I do not predict that we are 5 years from death. We could be 5 years from death. I simply don't know. Some people say that we are 50 years or 100 years from death, and that does seem like too long at the present rate of progress. My guess is that we are 0 to 2 basic breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, the size of transformer networks, which I guess is not really all that basic now that I say it out loud. 0 to 2 breakthroughs the size of transformers that were invented in 2018 and underlie the current wave of technology from the end of the world. If it's 0, then we just need to throw more and more computers at it and the world will end. Or it could take 2 more breakthroughs. How long does it take between breakthroughs? Well, it's been since 2018, and there has not yet obviously been another breakthrough of that size. But, you know, that might mean we're like due for the next one. There is vastly more money flooding into artificial intelligence now than there was 10 years ago. Breakthroughs should be coming faster. Does that mean that we're dead in 5 years? I simply don't know. Nobody has demonstrated very good ability to call the timing of things, even the ones who are successful at predicting where it will eventually end up.
Is there a warning bell that will let you know, because goodness knows the rest of us won't be able to apprehend it, is there a warning bell, a couple more of those iterations you talk about or whatever, that will ring inside your head and you will think, yeah, we've arrived, this is really trouble time?
Maybe an AI that's not so smart still manages to break out of containment and tries to, you know, either I don't think I would expect it to kill people, but it, you know, tries to set up its own company or something, tries to earn money itself and be independent of its makers. That would be a kind of warning sign. But mostly be glad that you even got as much of a warning sign as GPT-4. There's an AI around that can talk to you like a person and is visibly, you know, in some ways quite smart already, even if not smart in all the ways a human is. You know, that's your warning bell. How much more warning do you want?
You bear a big burden with this knowledge and your seeming certainty about all this, Eliezer. I mean, is it easy to contemplate? It's not for you, obviously.
I'm a believer in stoicism about this sort of thing. If I make a big dramatic fuss about it and, you know, wallow in my own emotions, it's not going to get any better.
Good to talk with you. Interesting to have your point of view. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.